This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Eliminate bags under your eyes in minutes with Instantly Ageless from GCNLife.com.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
Yemen's Houthi forces fired drones and missiles at Saudi Arabia's oil industry on Sunday. Saudi Arabia officials called it a failed assault on global energy security, and the energy ministry said there were no casualties or loss of property from the attacks. President Biden removed Houthi as a terrorist organization last month. The Houthis are known for attacks against civilians and the kidnapping of American citizens. One of the first things President Biden did for America was kill the Keystone XL oil pipeline permit. That destroyed thousands of Wisconsin union jobs, says Representative Mike Gallagher, Republican from Wisconsin. Now that oil has exceeded $70 a barrel this weekend, Representative Gallagher is asking Biden to reverse course because this is not the way to govern. Since a fourth and fifth sexual harassment accuser of New York Governor Andrew Cuomo has come forward, 37 lawmakers from either the Assembly or State Senate want him to resign, and 10 others have called for his impeachment. USA Radio News.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, simulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Texas Governor Greg Abbott is taking on big tech political censorship. John Clemens from the Texas USA Radio News Bureau reports.
The legislation would help prohibit social media companies from censoring the viewpoints expressed by Texans.
Conservative speech will not be canceled in the state of Texas. In Texas, maybe in particular in Texas, we see that the First Amendment is under assault by these social media companies, and that is not going to be tolerated in Texas.
Governor Greg Abbott also said websites like Facebook and Twitter have evolved into a modern-day public square, but said those platforms have begun controlling the flow of information.
The U.S. Department of Justice says Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act of 1996 protects social media for the removal of content in certain circumstances. And that's where the problem comes in. What is a certain circumstance? This is USA Radio News.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi. I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
We are expecting new guidelines from the CDC this week regarding those that have been vaccinated for COVID-19. Jeremy Scott with the Oregon USA Radio News Bureau reports.
Texas, Mississippi, Alabama, Iowa, Utah, Montana, and North Dakota have ended statewide face covering mandates or will soon. Arizona, Connecticut, and West Virginia are rescinding rules including capacity limits, but mask requirements will remain in place. Dr. Anthony Fauci on CBS's Face the Nation says the restrictions won't be forever.
We just need to hang in there a bit longer. We will be pulling back on these mitigation methods. It's not going to be this way indefinitely for sure.
He says expect new guidance on vaccines from the CDC this week.
People who are vaccinated and how a vaccinated person can interact with the other vaccinated person or with unvaccinated people, those guidelines are coming out from the CDC really imminently.
More than 90 million doses of the vaccine have been administered in the U.S. Just over 30 million people are fully vaccinated.
President Trump's Operation Warp Speed led the United States to 3 vaccines to fight COVID-19. Stephen Curry scored 28 points, 4 rebounds, and 4 assists in his 7th career NBA All-Star Game appearance as Team LeBron defeated Team Durant 171-50. Mr. Curry describes the game.
That last rack and having fun with that and getting the job done and then turn that into a win and some good shooting during the game. So a successful night all the way around.
For USA Radio News, I'm Lance Pry.
Why have thousands of aspiring authors teamed up with Christian Faith Publishing to publish their book? Because Christian Faith Publishing is an author-friendly publisher who understands that your labor is more than just a book. We provide authors freedom and flexibility throughout the publishing process, professional book editing, award-winning design, and some of the highest royalty structures in the publishing industry. And as always, you will retain 100% of the rights to your book.
I was looking to find a company that I could trust, one that assisted in the editing process completely.
The most important qualities that I was looking for was a publisher who was honest and upfront. No hidden costs or fees and owning the rights to my own work.
Christian Faith Publishing will publish, market, and sell your books in all major bookstores, online booksellers, as well as specialty Christian bookstores. Call for your free author submission kit.
800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. That's 800-978-4811.
Live.
You didn't think it was going to be easy, did you? Well, of course, as President Kennedy says, we do it not because it's easy, but because it's hard, and we thank you that you're joining it in, because it is about we the people. It's about an activated citizenry, reason we are where we are today. With some elites thinking that they are in charge is because too many of us thought that they were looking out for our best interests, and now we realize not necessarily looking out for their own interests, not necessarily the interests of we the people. In COVID-19 and all that we've gone through just pointedly, I believe, exposes that all the more. Dr. Bonner Cohen joins us now in a forthcoming article in Healthcare News. NCAPPR's senior fellow notes the nation reached a significant milestone in late February, with media outlets reporting that the number of Americans who have died from COVID-19 had passed the 500,000 mark. Such a death toll, I'm sure you would admit, is deeply disturbing. But the question remains, is it accurate? Dr. Cohen, always good to have you with us. How are you, sir?
I'm very well, Bill, and I'm glad to be here.
Well, that's the question. Anything that has to do with COVID, is that are we getting the whole truth and nothing but, or has even COVID become so politicized because there is some engendered outcome that is being utilized in all this?
Oh, indeed, there has been, and it has been done by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the CDC. Our listeners may have heard whispers of or reports of COVID deaths being somewhat confusing because it was never clear to some people whether a person died of COVID-19 or with COVID-19. Mm-hmm. And, of course, the distinction is very, very important. It turns out that some very ambitious researchers published a peer-reviewed article in the journal Science, Public Health Policy, and the Law. Mm-hmm. And they looked into some steps that the CDC took about a year ago that are deeply troubling. Mm-hmm. What the CDC did is it issued an alert overturning in one fell stroke a 17-year policy on how it reports infectious diseases. Mm. And it instructed coroners, medical examiners, and physicians around the country to de-emphasize underlying causes of death when recording death certificates for COVID-19 and for COVID-19 only. This was a unilateral decision on the part of CDC. And how did they go about this? Mm-hmm. Well, it seems that every death certificate has a part one and a part two. And what the CDC said is de-emphasize underlying causes, and it instructed these people to move underlying causes from part one, which is the immediate cause of death. Historically, that had been accompanied by underlying causes of death.
Right.
Now move underlying causes of death to part two, which may be conditions, but those which did not contribute to the death.
Right.
With this sleight of hand, you have death certificates looking as if COVID-19 was the sole cause of death. Let me give you an example. A high school classmate of mine passed away last fall. She had COVID-19, but she also had Parkinson's disease and had had it for years.
Right.
On her death certificate, Parkinson's disease disappears as an underlying cause and is put, shall we say, on the back burner on part two, and that death is recorded as a COVID-19 death. What this very predictably did was it gave us a grossly inflated figure as to the number of people who have died directly from COVID-19. And it makes it, in retrospect, almost impossible to go in and untangle the mess
exactly.
that the CDC did.
Yeah, this is like trying to figure out who voted.
Yeah, exactly.
One more time. So then, now the other part that you and I discussed the last time was the medical professionals were being rewarded for a CDC, I mean, for a COVID death, more generously as opposed to, you know, some other death, Parkinson, all of a sudden. So what's going to happen is people, you know, see old, age-old business model, people will do that which they get rewarded for. So how much of that is still in play?
It is still very much in play because nothing has changed. The CDC directive that went out on March 24th of 2020 has not been corrected, and by the way, is patently illegal. It violates three federal statutes, the Data Quality Act, the Administrative Procedures Act, and the Paperwork Reduction Act. Anytime a federal agency undertakes a major rule change, it has to put this in the Federal Register and open it up for public comment. Just imagine if the CDC had done that, and people had been able to come and say, wait a minute, you are commingling data, and you are producing very questionable data because you are de-emphasizing a key factor in the death of a human being. Are you doing?
Right.
Well, they never did that. And so in addition to what you just said, we actually reward people and institutions for recording COVID-19 deaths. We also have created data that are completely unreliable because we have absolutely no idea at all how many Americans died from COVID-19. None whatsoever.
What's the motivation here by the CDC, Dr. Cohen?
I think what the CDC was trying to do is make itself even more important than it sadly already is. The CDC, by participating in what is in fact a tragedy, namely COVID-19, but producing data which made a tragedy even worse than it really was, the CDC could certainly hope to increase its funding, to have its people participate in COVID discussions, give talks. I think it's important for people to realize that the public health bureaucracy here, the upper echelons, these people can also make money off COVID-19.
Of course.
Is the person whom President Biden has nominated to be our next Surgeon General, a gentleman by the name of Murphy, has earned over $2 million as a COVID-19 consultant to various cruise lines and other companies. These people have a vested interest in perpetuating the pandemic
for
as long as possible, right. Even as that pandemic mercifully appears to be in decline.
This is absolutely incredible. I mean, what we're going to be left with in the wake of all this faux information. We've been talking a lot about what precedes the legitimate is that which is false. And we're loaded down with false, and this is just another area. We've got more from Dr. Bonner-Cohen after this. Stay with us.
Power grid failures and natural disasters. They happen too often now. Will financial collapse be next? What kind of emergency plan do you have for the next sudden food shortage? If you don't, it's time to prepare. At MyPatriotSupply.com, we make it easy for you. Our emergency food storage kits stay fresh for up to 25 years. They ship fast and discreetly to your door. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com.
The following is a paid announcement. The advertiser was paid a marketing fee for a digital campaign. Please make sure to review our disclaimer on our report page.
The new year is here, and the time is now to capitalize on the gold stocks boom in the U.S. markets. More stimulus and higher inflation could potentially drive gold prices to record highs in 2021. And with gold exploration stocks poised to skyrocket in the coming months, you have an opportunity to position your trades with red-hot gold exploration stock opportunities. Text the word GOLD to 48542. Get front row access to market intelligence when you text the word GOLD to 48542 and to set your investment research strategy to hyper growth mode with your free subscription to the Gold Market Research Report. Text GOLD to 48542 and have this red hot intelligence delivered directly to your mobile device so you can make decisions as market conditions change. If you're interested in our hit list of the most promising gold exploration stocks, then text the word GOLD to 48542 and don't get left behind in 2021. Text GOLD to 48542.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-628-7226. 800-628-7226. 800-628-7226. That's 800-628-7226.
Attention timeshare owners. This is an urgent consumer alert from the Timeshare Exit Hotline, a national company specializing in helping consumers legally get out of their expensive timeshare contracts. We're offering you a way to legally get rid of your timeshare. So if you're fed up with the maintenance fees that keep on coming and want to learn if you can terminate your timeshare legally and permanently, call today. Even if you've tried before and were unsuccessful in getting rid of your timeshare, call today and see if we can help. We offer a complete 100% unconditional client satisfaction guarantee. Make this completely free call and learn how we can help you legally put an end to your timeshare nightmare once and for all. You have nothing to lose, so call right now to qualify and receive a free consultation. 800-897-1434. 800-897-1434. That's 800-897-1434. Paid for by Airtime Media.
Values, faith, service, they still exist here. Bill Martinez, live.
You know, the bottom line of all this is you got to know who you can trust. And when you can no longer trust these governmental agencies that are charged to serve we the people and work on our behalf, I don't know about you, but this is unnerving. You know, Dr. Bonner Cohen pointed out that in this groundbreaking study brought to us by the journal, The Science, Public Health Policy, and the Law, it concluded that the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the old infamous CDC, unilaterally altered a 17-year-old process by which it calculates infectious disease cause fatalities, creating a special category for tabulating COVID-19 deaths. This, the study says, violated three federal statutes, enabled the CDC to produce grossly distorted data that were widely disseminated in the media, and served to justify the imposition of economically destructive policies such as lockdowns to stem the spread of the disease. We've all had our doubts about the information that we were getting, and Dr. Bonner Cohen, now, I mean, it's clear we've been worked.
Oh, indeed we have been. I'm picking up right where you left off. Let me quote one sentence from this study. Quote, as a result of state policies based on potentially compromised data published and promoted by the CDC, Americans have lost jobs and businesses in historically unprecedented numbers. Wow. And therein lie the consequences of this. Once you manipulate the data, which the CDC willfully did, you can then use that data to have policies imposed across the board, which was done by various states and in some cases municipalities, mm-hmm. that were terribly destructive and simply made a bad situation worse.
Right. And, of course, with impunity, because there's no liability for them, right? Because they can say, well, we got the information from the CDC, as fatal as the information is. And as you say, it not only affects today, but it affects tomorrow, because what happens 10, 20 years down the road? We want to go back and look at what happened in 2020 and 2021 when COVID-19 broke out, and we're going to look at these numbers like as if they're canon law.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And, you know, this isn't the last pandemic we're going to have to deal with. Mm-hmm. Another one is going to come. And are we going to go through the same exercise that we went through in dealing with this one? And I fear that we will, unless we learn the lessons from this. And
but who's going to drive that, Bonner? I mean, the CDC, you can't ask them to do it, because
even
some of these government entities, because they're so corrupt anyway. I mean, it's like you're asking to do brain surgery on themselves.
That's right. Yeah, don't look for the CDC, the National Institutes of Health, the Food and Drug Administration. Don't look for any of these people to clean up themselves. What is going to be required here is for the people who are listening to this show and elsewhere to realize that they have been completely had by the very people who would have us believe that they are working on our behalf, when as a matter of fact, they're working on their own behalf. They have lined their pockets, and they have increased their power over all of us as a result of this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, follow the power and money again. You know, you just follow those two prongs, and it's quite telling. I mean, how many of these CD officials, like for Dr. Fauci, for example, who has patents on, you know, some of these vaccines that are being produced, and how much will he earn in terms of a windfall profit as a result of some of these vaccines?
Oh, that's absolutely, and you know, we have dealt with them. Pandemics in the past. I recently wrote an article comparing how we dealt with the current crisis with something that hit us in the late 1950s called the Asian flu, and some of our older listeners may remember that. And this is something that was quite virulent. It affected millions of people around the world. It affected younger people, unlike COVID-19, which goes mostly after the elderly and frail. And we got through all of that actually without a vaccine. There was a vaccine developed, but only around 17% of the population got around to taking the vaccine. As these things tend to do, it eventually, shall we say, died of its own dead weight. In other words, we reached herd immunity, and bingo, as soon as we were there, the disease quit spreading and it went away. Mm-hmm. Here, we had a rush to a vaccine. It was amazing that so many vaccines, I think we have three or four that are already out now that were developed in such a short period of time. But by betting the ranch on vaccines, we purposely, and we, by we, I mean the public health establishment, underplayed other means at our disposal, other cures, such as hydroxychloroquine, which in many cases, if applied soon enough, can cure a patient so that you don't need a vaccine. But, of course, that was something that was that had already been patented. There was no big amount of money to be earned by that, as well as other cures.
It was only like $10 versus, hundreds of dollars. Right. So you know where that's going to go real quick, right?
This thing was a bonanza.
Right. And especially the fact that President Trump had lauded its praises, and anything that Donald Trump had to say about it was negated.
That's right. Yeah. It made it radioactive. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Never mind that it was documented, and more than just anecdotally, that it really helped a lot of people, and it cured a lot of people.
Yeah, this is all, this is so disgusting because we lost people unnecessarily. Now, not to get into the realm of the conspiratorial, but do you find it odd that COVID-19 seemed to take out older people and those that were comorbid? Do you find that odd, or is that just the normal case of anything that's virulent, that it will go after the weakest of the herd?
Well, actually, that's a very good question, because the answer is not necessarily. Mm-hmm. If we look at past pandemics, and I cited the Asian flu epidemic of 1957, 1958, it didn't go after older people. Mm-hmm. It went after school kids,
yes,
teenagers. Younger people, people mostly under 40. If you were elderly and frail, you didn't have a thing to worry about, at least as far as the Asian flu was concerned, because it didn't go after you. So in the world of pandemics, this was something of an anomaly. This did not follow the pattern that we have seen in the past, and that the probability of your getting this increases with age and with your susceptibility to all sorts of things if you have underlying conditions. Of course, the very thing that the CDC de-emphasized when it came up with its new rule on how we calculate deaths.
Well, Dr. Bonner Cohen is with us, NCPPR's senior fellow, and we're talking COVID-19 and many of its complications. It seems that the good news about COVID-19, it's managed to cure the flu, right? I mean, we're not hearing about any flu numbers right now, which normally would be up there pretty high. So obviously, they've gotten diluted in with these COVID-19 numbers.
Oh, that's right. On average, we lose around 40,000 people a year to various flu strains, and they typically hit younger people. Flu is a big thing that kids bring home from school, for instance. Mm-hmm. In addition to which, we generally have around 50,000 people a year who die from pneumonia, and that pneumonia generally hits older people. The interesting thing is both of those have been kind of pushed under the table in favor of, if you look at how these deaths are reported, to COVID-19. And I seriously don't believe that flu just out and out disappeared and that the pneumonia out and out disappeared. But just look at the data manipulation here.
Yes, exactly.
See how this particular game was played.
And there's a reason that there's a law to protect the integrity of these numbers, because, again, like we said, not just now, but down the road, what is it going to say about, about any pandemic coming down the road and how we're going to deal with it? I mean, this is just one big, humongous mess. He's a senior fellow at the National Center for Public Policy Research. Dr. Bonner Cohen has been with us. Bonner, as always, appreciate the insight. Thank you so much. Take care.
Thank you for having me.
You got it, buddy.
Here's an important COVID-19 school system update for your local area. If you're concerned about your child's education, please pay close attention to this message. The current school systems were not set up for at-home learning.
If you're worried that your child may not be getting the grades they need to get ahead, may be losing self-confidence, or you're worried about them getting into a good college because of their grades, help is available to you. Call Grade Potential Tutoring. They can help with in-home or online tutoring and help your child with any subject and every grade level, even for test prep. They're experts in the home tutoring and online tutoring field and confident they can help you and your child get better grades today. Call now for your free consultation.
800-539-5860. 800-539-5860. 800-539-5860. That's 800-539-5860.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
Yemen's Houthi forces fired drones and missiles at Saudi Arabia's oil industry on Sunday. Saudi Arabia officials called it a failed assault on global energy security, and the energy ministry said there were no casualties or loss of property from the attacks. President Biden removed Houthi as a terrorist organization last month. The Houthis are known for attacks against civilians and the kidnapping of American citizens. One of the first things President Biden did for America was kill the Keystone XL oil pipeline permit. That destroyed thousands of Wisconsin union jobs, says Representative Mike Gallagher, Republican from Wisconsin. Now that oil has exceeded $70 a barrel this weekend, Representative Gallagher is asking Biden to reverse course because this is not the way to govern. Since a fourth and fifth sexual harassment accuser of New York Governor Andrew Cuomo has come forward, 37 lawmakers from either the Assembly or State Senate want him to resign, and 10 others have called for his impeachment. USA Radio News.
If you are trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.
Bill Martinez, live.
We're back with you just like that. Great to have you along with us, sharing a part of your day. For more info on the show, go to BillMartinezShow.com. It's all right there. You know, the COVID pandemic has created unprecedented circumstances for our schools and our students. Therefore, an unprecedented response is needed from our leaders, right? Seems to make sense. As local educators, parents, and students prepare to welcome First Lady Jill Biden to Meriden, Connecticut, they're hoping her visit will draw attention to the urgent needs of students in their state and across the country. Her inaugural trip to Connecticut as First Lady to celebrate the new Secretary of Education, Miguel Cardona, in his hometown creates an opportunity to raise awareness on the urgency of these educational needs. The pandemic has led to learning loss, unmet funding needs that must be addressed. Now, this need has encouraged parents representing all public schools in the state, charter district, and magnet, to come together to ask for support and raise awareness about the issues facing our children. Here with us this morning to talk about is Gwen Samuel. She's the president and founder of the Connecticut Parents Union. Gwen, welcome to the show. Good to have you with us.
Thank you so much for having me, sir.
Well, tell us about the hashtag GetSchooled campaign.
So it's Get School, Talk to Parents, and Talk to Students campaign on this day when we have the First Lady, Jill Biden, and the newly confirmed Dr. Miguel Cardona joining us in Meriden, Connecticut. And so we want to make sure that they understand about the urgency of now for children in Connecticut and across this country as it relates to learning loss. How do we get kids back on track? How do we put the right reforms and recovery efforts in place to ensure whatever they need to get back on track, we as adults do it for the students.
You know, Gwen, I was just with a group of people last night, and this topic came up. I mean, this is being discussed in households across the country, the importance of our children getting back to school. I cannot thank you enough, you know, for what you're doing, the awareness that you're bringing to this critical issue right now. So let's talk a little bit more, again, specifically, how this pandemic has affected our schools.
See, we not only have school closures, and see, this is what I call when pandemic politics come into play. So we have a deadly pandemic on the rise, results in mass school closures. Now we're talking about reopening efforts, right? But we also need to talk about the reforms that are needed, mass tutoring, making sure quality schools that were already in existence prior to the pandemic stay in existence. Because now what we're noticing is education politics come into play, and I'm concerned that business as usual rhetoric will supersede the needs of America's children and Connecticut's children. So this event is to not only welcome the First Lady to Connecticut, not only congratulate Dr. McGill, but let them know that parents and students and small businesses and taxpayers and voters, we are all here to work with them to ensure that we leave no child behind. We leave no child in the cold. And so we can't afford to discriminate against school models. This is not about charters. This is not about magnets. It's not about traditional. This is about ensuring that whatever school option that a parent chooses to ensure that child's academic and life success, they have access to that educational opportunity. And we want to work with them to ensure that happens.
Well, Gwen, and part of that opportunity is that, you know, I think all these classrooms and schools across the country have to be assessed. You know, where are these kids at? And if you say, like, you know, excellent point, you just can't jump into the curriculum and the agenda that would be in a normal classroom. Kids have been out of the classroom for, you know, in some cases as much as a year. So how do you, you know, tutor them, as you say, to bring them up to speed? I mean, it's almost like the agenda, the administrative curricula have to be considered more in, if I'm saying this correctly, in kind of a spectrum based on the need of that child in that school in that area. Is that fair?
Oh, that is very fair. And see, if we were to, and this is why we all have to answer the question today. So as the Dr. Miguel Cardona has been sworn in, we all must ask the question, what is the purpose of primary and secondary public education? Mm. It is to educate the future leaders, educate our future workforce, right? And so we cannot be making this about ideology. Oh, I don't like charter. This is not about your ideology. This is about the needs of children. And if a charter is performing well and meeting the needs, fine. If the magnet school is meeting the needs, fine. Whatever it takes to help our future workforce, that is where our focus needs to be. And so that's why our goal is just a gentle reminder today. This is an event of a solidarity to say that we are with you.
Mm-hmm.
Our parents are in lockstep with you because you will be making decisions about our children, right? About my grandchildren. So we want to make sure you have the support you need to make informed and responsible decisions, not ideology decisions, not political decisions, but what is best for children decisions.
Exactly. On behalf of the kids, Gwen Samuel, that is the most important thing. Now, who's going to decide, say, that, you know, a charter school is performing, they're doing great, or a magnet school? Who makes that decision?
And see, that's where we also need to come in, because that's where my state, and we got a great state, so I'm impressed with that. But this is where double standards come in. So when we look at non-traditional or district schools, accountability is required extra, if you will, for your charters, for your magnets, for anything that's not a traditional. But I don't see those same measures on our traditional schools. And so the districts have to ask themselves the questions. Why are parents leaving their local neighborhood school? No one wants to leave their neighborhood.
Right.
That's where they build their roots, their family, their community. But if you're not holding districts accountable to serving the children effectively, then you have an exodus. And we're not talking mass exodus because parents are willing to work with the district, but for those parents who put their children first and foremost, they are looking at other options, and those options include charter. Mm-hmm. And I want to say very clearly that the Constitution protections still matter to charter school children, too. They are still children. They just go to a charter school. We should not be creating tiered or classism in educationism in education.
Right.
All children matter. Support all children, regardless of school models. And we're hoping Dr. Miguel Cardona, I have the utmost respect for him, that he talks to parents and he talks to students before he makes decisions that unintentionally harm students
exactly.
and harm parents.
Well, there's a reason for the increase in popularity and the choices being made by parents for charter schools. I mean, it's practical. They're not doing it to harm their child. They're doing it because they're realizing it may be, in that particular case, in their best interest. But, you know, as you say, and I agree with you, I mean, for all that we have invested in public schools, you just cannot throw the baby out with the bathwater, but you need to be able to ask the critical questions to hold these schools accountable, because what's on the line here? But as you say, our kids and our grandkids, you know, the next generation of leaders in our country. So the bar right now of responsibility has really risen, and it's going to be up to the parents to step up and meet the challenge, right?
Absolutely. We just did a major event with the Miss Virginia movie just last week, over the weekend, and there was one student from Atlanta Student Coalition from Georgia, and she says parents need to ride or die, as they say in one of the rap songs, and she's not a rapper. But right, and it says you have to be there. We have to step up for our children.
Yeah,
and so
exactly.
We don't want to get caught in your rhetoric. We don't care the school model. We want quality educational safe experiences,
yeah.
Period. There's other things, keep it in your mind. But if you harm children because of your rhetoric, then it's no longer good for children. So we just have to do better as adults, and we have to stand up for kids. Really stand up
right.
for our children.
Well, Gwen Samuels, a mom of a child that attends a Connecticut public school, and as you can tell, she's very, very knowledgeable about the topic and passionate as well. We appreciate that passion, you know, coming here on the show. One final question as we wrap things up. We've got about 35 seconds left, Gwen. Charter schools, public, tuition-free, and how can listeners get involved in advocating for our children's education?
Right, so step up, listen to your children. If they're telling you they're having challenges in their school, let's check to see if that school is the right fit. If it's not the right fit for your child, if the neighborhood is not right for your child, you may need to seek other options. If they don't exist, let's work together to create those options. But doing nothing is not an option.
And where do they go for more information?
For more information, you can reach us at the Connecticut Parents Union. We're on Facebook, Connecticut Parents Union, or you can email us info@ctparentsunion.org.
How would you like to improve your hearing by 100% for around $100 a month? Are the joys of life worth $100 a month to you? Of course they are. All Hear produces state-of-the-art hearing systems that are guaranteed to improve your hearing or your money back. These are quality devices, not some cheap imitation. That's why we guarantee your hearing will be improved. We'll even give everyone that calls right now a free 30-day home trial. Use your hearing device for 30 days. If you're not 100% happy, send them back. And we offer easy financing plans for about $100 a month with virtually 100% approval. If you're ready to get your hearing back the way it was when you were younger, call right now for your risk-free 30-day trial.
800-765-2964. 800-765-2964. 800-765-2964. That's 800-765-2964.
You love your dog. Is something bothering him or her and you can't figure out what it is? Maybe they seem slow or lethargic. And maybe they just don't have energy. Wouldn't you like your dog to be living their very best life? PetJoy offers a money-back guarantee on all of its products. If your dog won't eat it or you don't see the results you want, just let us know and we'll make it right. Totally risk-free. What do you have to lose? You can't buy PetJoy multivitamins in a store. The only way you can get them is through this unique radio offer. And if you call right now, learn how to get 2 bottles free with your order. Turn your dog's life around and make him or her a happy camper. Ain't that right, boy? He said call PetJoy right now. 800-890-8117. 800-890-8117. 800-890-8117.
That's 800-890-8117.
There's so much hand sanitizer on the market, but beware. Not all hand sanitizers are created equal. That's why you want to use 2020 Safe hand sanitizer. You can trust the hand sanitizer on 2020safe.net to be made with the highest quality ingredients. American made with American ingredients employing Americans. Log on now to 2020safe.net and order your 1 liter today. Normally $29.99, but reduced to $19.99. So hurry while supplies last and receive a bonus. That's right. You'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $39.95 value, free, by using code GCN at checkout. Right now, click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1 liter bottle of high-quality hand sanitizer with your free bonus, a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster valued at $39.95. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours, free, 2020safe.net.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. What more could you want? Bill Martinez live. Turn it up.
Welcome back, America. Bill Martinez here. Great to have you along with us sharing a part of your day. For more info on the show, BillMartinezShow.com. That's where you want to go. You know, the question these days, with more and more employees working from home, you may wonder. I mean, we're starting to hear some real estate rumblings of, you know, especially as it relates to commercial real estate and all those office buildings. What is going to happen with this? Martin Sawa is with us. He spent his career selling commercial real estate. You know, you can think skyscrapers, office buildings, retail parks, apartment buildings, and the like. In downtown San Francisco and Los Angeles, he was a broker, operator, and developer for 35 years. So you are looking at this with eyes wide open, Martin. And what opportunity do you see on the horizon here?
Well, hi, Bill, and thanks for having me on. There's a lot going on right now, and no one is quite sure what the end impact is going to be of the work from home or remote work. But it will probably have a pretty significant effect as things are sorted out over the next few years. There were a number of trends already in place. Some companies, some tech companies were almost predominantly 100% remote work, while most businesses were just perhaps trying it out on a limited basis. But in addition to that, the nature of the office building is changing, too. From the kind of buildings we built and occupied, you know, 20, 30 years ago, to more high-tech creative space and even the relocation of central offices and having satellite offices and the like. So it's going to be an interesting couple of years.
Well, you say that in spite of some of these downtrends, you know, retail and office properties,
getting hammered, apartment property saying, well, I mean, I'm looking at the difference in New York, for example. Even in Manhattan, rental rates down about 17%. You get good values out in the Bronx and some of the outside areas of New York. And I think this is probably typical. A friend of mine who operates retail there in New York had said a while ago there's something like over 10,000 open apartments in New York. I mean, this is unheard of. So they've gotten a big hit. But you say that even that being the case, industrial property values have even increased during COVID-19, which I think is interesting because of what we're looking at is this potential of, you know, people, you know, being or that there's less demand by businesses for industrial property. Why is that increasing?
Well, there's in any major event, there are winners and losers. The big winners, you know, last year were industrial. And that's just because of the nature of logistics with Amazon and with all the deliveries. The nature of the warehouse has changed. You used to have these older, you know, 20, 24-foot clear buildings. And now they're 1 million, 2 million square feet. And so the industrial sector actually improved during COVID, whereas retail and office got hammered really hard. Apartments somewhere in between, certainly like New York, San Francisco, where you have dense high-rise core apartments and people aren't using mass transit to get into the city and so forth, they've gotten hurt especially bad.
Yeah. Well, especially San Francisco. San Francisco is such a mess, as you know, Martin. People are staying away, you know. They're staying away from, you know, San Francisco, you know, because of, you know, the homelessness, you know, the, I mean, you got human feces in the streets. I mean, people are tiptoeing through the tulips there. It's disgusting. You've got people, you know, they've hired people to pick up human feces in this once beautiful city where people have left their hearts in, you know? Sad.
Well, Bill, when I was developing, we had a major project. It was right on the edge of the Tenderloin. That's kind of the worst area in San Francisco, or was at the time. This was, you know, 10 years ago. And now the problem has kind of spread citywide. And it's just awful, and it's what you hear in other places is actually not as bad as it is because there's a lot of attempt to, like, just suppress the information. So, but it's gotten
really
bad.
Well, and the other thing, too,
before
you've got
COVID,
better governance, too. Yeah,
yeah, there were some major tech companies already planning to move out. So that's a trend in the wrong direction. But until the politicians agree that there is a problem, and it's remarkable, but until that happens, or the people vote them out, it's going to be getting worse.
Yeah, it's kind of amazing how slow they are to react. I mean, it's tough enough when you're in a reactive position, as you know, in business. I mean, once you're behind, you're always behind. But in government, they seem to think that it's okay, the further behind they get, the more expensive it becomes to get caught up. You write that COVID-19 has merely accelerated processes that were already underway, and that's what you're saying right now with what's been happening, right?
Yes. Yeah, the trend toward maybe leaving some of these urban core areas because they just can't deal with the problems of homelessness and crime in general. I don't know if you know, but a few years ago, we had a proposition here in California that passed, which basically decriminalized a lot of crime, and so it shot up. In San Francisco, in a matter of less than 10 years, has probably the highest property crime rate in the country. And it's just unbelievable what's going on.
Yeah, I mean, I hate to put it on the shoulders of a former attorney general, now vice president, but it seems like a lot of that was under her watch. But you know, look, when you say when people have had enough of this, and it seems to be the case in California with a recall of governor there.
Yeah, we'll see how that goes. It's amazing, but in basically the state and most of the major cities flipped from you know, red to blue probably around 1990. Mm-hmm. And it's in, you know, it's just a one-party state, and a lot of these are one-party cities.
Right.
And then, until the balance shifts, I wish I had better news, but
yes.
It's going to be very difficult.
Well, the better news is that, you know, it's still a country of we the people, regardless of how things have encroached and what, you know, the fake media would want us to believe. You know, the people still have a say in this. And their voice is being heard, like it or not, by governors on the opposite coast in New York as well as in California. But look, it's up for them, you know, to do something about it. But I still have faith in the people that they will do the right thing. I think that what's happened is when you have tasted freedom for as long as we have, then, you know, that's hard to let go. And I think that's the big battle by those utopian idealists that want to fit us into a paradigm that's not consistent with our history. And that's an uphill battle for them. I all to say that I have faith in the people and in the systems that are pretty much there. Because as you say, there's general inertia, even in real estate, that takes over. There's only so much that they can, you know, that they can do. You write that 50 years ago, commercial real estate was largely a minor asset. Local market enterprise today, properties are worth hundreds of millions, even billions of dollars. It is a huge enterprise, right?
It's commercial real estate is estimated to be about a $16 trillion market. So it's a major asset class, and that and became like stocks and bonds back in the 90s when there was enough product built and the large institutions moved in. But my parents, they grew up in Ukraine, Bill, and lived under Stalin, then Hitler, and then Stalin again.
Yeah.
So I've seen this. You know, in their stories, and I went back, and, you know, I've seen how this really works in real life. So.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Martin Sawa, I so appreciate you coming on. You're again, as you said earlier, the buildings will be adapted, retrofitted, repurposed to meet the contemporary needs of employees, shoppers, guests, and others. And you say you're waiting to see a vacant shopping mall converted to an Amazon distribution center. I don't think that's far flung. I think that's pretty much in the future. I would agree with you. Martin Sawa, who has spent his career selling commercial real estate, has been our guest. Martin, thank you so much. Appreciate the insight. Take care.
Thanks, Bill.
Attention radio listeners, if you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-the-grid electricity, pay close attention. Here's why. A limited number of solar backup generators are now back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving electrical backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. It's like having an electric power plant running silently in your own home. So whether it's dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. And the best news, this week only, listeners purchasing a solar generator will receive hundreds of dollars in free off-the-grid bonuses. So go to mysolarbackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's mysolarbackup.com. Again, supplies are extremely limited, so go to mysolarbackup.com today.
The final phase of